I was hesitant to record because I worry that it'll stop people from asking questions, but then on the other hand, the upside is people can listen to it more in here. So, that is, assuming it's worth listening to.
Everything's being recorded.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just going to send it to the Russians. That's not for the recording. That's off the record. Okay. So I thought we would talk about the concept of fish and meat, because we've talked about a lot of different kashrut things, especially kashrut things that are a little bit confusing. But so obviously everybody knows that there's something about fish and meat that we kind of don't mix them. We kind of do. We don't cook them together. On the other hand, people eat them on separate plates, eat them with separate forks, so they wash their fork off, or some people drink a l'chaim between it. Some people eat something between them. So it's a little confusing because, eating meat and milk, you wouldn't just wash off your fork. And so what exactly is going on? So it comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says, well, first of all, it's interesting. There's a commentary on Yerodea that writes about health. Obviously, the Rambam writes a tremendous amount about health also. But this commentary, the Levush on Yerodea, on the Shulchan Aruch, writes that there's a pasuk in the Torah, "V'nishmartem la'od ma'od l'nafshaseich," which should guard your soul. And it comes to tell us that a person has to guard their health. They shouldn't bring themselves into a situation of danger, of ill health. Even though that's not exactly what the pasuk is talking about, but we take the pasuk a little bit out of context. And we learn from it that a person is obligated to guard their health. And he says also that it could be it applies even to non-Jews from another pasuk. And in fact, the Gemara says, and he quotes here, "Chamira sakanta meisura." There is a concept in the Gemara that we're more strict about sakana, about things that might be dangerous, than we are about things that are forbidden. So, for instance, the question comes up about, if you had milk that fell into a pot of meat, and there was 60 times the meat over the milk, so we would assume the taste isn't there, and you'd be allowed to eat it. The question comes up, what about fish that falls into a pot of meat, assuming that there's some kind of danger? We'll see, the Gemara thinks that it's bad for your health, fish and meat together. So what if there was less than a 60th? So some people want to argue that, because the Gemara has this idea that we're more strict about sort of danger to oneself than we are about something that's forbidden, that maybe that would be a place where that would be one way to see it. And then he writes that even if a person says, "I want to put myself in danger, I'm the master of my own destiny," still a person's not allowed to. And if a person does endanger their health, we beat them. But we give them lashes d'rabbanan. We only give them, it's not forbidden from the Torah, it's rabbinically forbidden to endanger yourself. So catch somebody, smoking or drinking too much, then we beat them and then they'll stop and take care of their health. It is very funny and ironic, actually. Whatever works. So we don't do that much anymore. Yeah.
So here's a question I always had, in terms of danger, so how far does that go? Does that mean somebody shouldn't do skydiving
because
it's dangerous?
Question.
Should
right,
they?
Right. What about crossing the street?
What about crossing the street? Right. There's a whole
right. Where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line?
Right. So the Gemara says that on the one hand, ain samchan al nes, you don't rely on miracles to save you. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, I'm going to do something crazy it's a 75% chance that I won't make it. But, that would be sort of relying on a miracle. On the other hand...
But what about a surgery?
Right. So doing a surgery that's not necessary could be a real issue.
But one that's necessary, but there's a 75% chance.
So it depends what the other side of the coin is, In other words, when you do a surgery, you're doing it because you want to help yourself. So, it might depend how much of a danger there is. So the Gemara says that doing normal things that people do lots of things that are dangerous. Driving in certain countries, So I used to live in India, and certain roads in India that you drive on them, and you're on the side of a mountain. There's no guardrail. There's no nothing. You look down. There's not a lot of cars down there that have fallen off. So people seem to do okay.
All right.
But, you know...
It,
There you go. You know, or I don't know. Be interesting. So the Gemara says there's a pasuk that says Shomer Psayim Hashem, God guards fools, and that's sort of what enables us to do things that even though they're dangerous, if there's something that people normally do, we assume that it's permitted and that God will sort of take care of us. So the line sort of halakhically be drawn is what's considered normal, what's considered within the realm of what people do. Because if something really is overly dangerous and, you know, really is a serious danger to one's life, that, I think that would be forbidden. So, like, an interesting question would be, what about climbing Mount Everest? Right? So it seems like, you know, like an American, to be told, you don't have to climb Mount Everest because it's dangerous, like, that's very anti-American, I feel like, you know? Like, mm-hmm. That's what we're all about, you know, is independence and ruggedness and taking risk. But, you know, I think like 50% of the people that climb Everest die. No? It's a very high now. I don't know what the percentage is now. It used to be very high. Maybe it's a little less now. But, you know, if you're up there and there's a storm, they really can't help you. Right. You know? So I don't know what the percentage is. So it's an interesting question. What's halakhically the percentage where you would have to draw the line where it would be forbidden to do it?
You know, I listened to a lot of Shireen, like Emunah, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And it kind of talks about this a lot, like you can't be relying on miracles, so mm-hmm. nevertheless, there's like a 0% chance. So usually I ask a Shireen, if it's 51%, and let's like Rush Steinman, like the people, like...
Do you think 50% is the lot?
They say like 51%. Like that. And then
so that's interesting. If only 40% of the people die in Everest, you'd be allowed to climb it? Maybe. Maybe you would. I don't know.
No. This is all in the case of like surgeries. This is never in the context of something that's just like...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Or it's sometimes, even if there are things that are dangerous, if it's normalized, if it's something people usually do, you're allowed to do it. I mean, the early days of airplanes was seen as dangerous. Yeah.
Danger in terms of making you sick or in terms of that'll kill you. There's a difference. For example, when they beat people with, you know, lashes or whatever, they would be, they break the skin, people would get infections.
Well, although I think you're not supposed to hurt, I think you're not supposed to go that far.
Still dangerous.
That's true. Right. What about, you know?
Aren't you supposed to have a doctor standing by when you do lashes?
I think they were very careful. But there are examples of things. You know, are you allowed to ride a bike without a helmet? Probably. A lot of people do, you know, especially now with all the rental bikes. Like, no one has a helmet anymore. You know, but so you ride on the sidewalk, you ride on a thing. What about smoking? You know, is smoking forbidden? If so, when did it become forbidden? Because 30 years ago, you know, when half the world smoked, it wasn't forbidden. It was still bad for you. you know. There is a lot of it. It's strange because you would think that, I think now it's such a rare practice, I think. I think it's not permitted on Yom Tov anymore.
I think a Rav died on YU, at YU, and then he was very respected, and when he died, that was kind of the end of it.
Mm, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, because like on Yom Tov, it used to be that people would smoke, but you're only allowed on Yom Tov to use fire for that which is Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, that which is something everybody needs. So I think actually that's one halacha that's really changed in the last, let's say, 20 years.
You used to light off the candles.
Right, you used to be able to do that. So I don't think you're permitted to anymore. And as I think now it's usher to smoke on Yom Tov because it's definitely not something that's something that everybody needs. The Gemara has this example of incense. That incense is something that only a few people use. It's not Dovra Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, so you can't light incense on Yom Tov, even from an existing flame. So I think the same is probably true with smoking today. I think the opposite is true with showering. It used to be that showering in hot water was something that not everybody did every day. And so on Yom Tov, you weren't necessarily permitted to bathe your whole body in hot water. I think that's changed because now it's very, very common that people shower every day. And so I think smoking and showering have switched places with regard to the laws of Yom Tov. And using fire on Yom Tov. You have to be careful of other things, squeezing out your hair or whatever it is.
But I mean, even with the showering thing, I mean, mm-hmm. Rabbi Jachter sent us something that he wrote about, and it's only really if it's a health issue.
That's interesting.
You should wash.
I'll have to look and see why.
Yeah. I think
it's changed.
We have a copy somewhere, right? Or we can just find it online.
Yeah. It was health or significant discomfort.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
The example he gave was someone Well, if the elf issue was one, or right. the other example was, you know, you dance a lot on Simchas Torah and you get really sweaty and you're going to mm-hmm. feel really sweaty and gross mm-hmm. for the rest of Yom Tov.
Yeah, so I'll have to look and see if that's what it holds, why that is. So here, so it's interesting, Rav Schechter apparently said, you know, everybody's so careful about not using the same fork for fish and meat. But then they eat high-fat foods, you know. They don't exercise.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, what? Where's the logic in that? You know, you're so just because the Gemara says it doesn't mean that nothing else is bad for you. You know, so here, this is the source for it. The Gemara says, in Pesachim, Rav Kahana, the son of Rabbi Chanina, the elder, said that if you bake bread with roasting meat in an oven. You're not allowed to eat that bread in something milchik. Kudach was something milchik. And the Gemara says there was a certain fish that was roasted together with meat, and Rava prohibited it from being eaten with kudach due to the meat flavor in the fish. Mar Bar Avashi said, even to eat it with salt is also prohibited, because meat that's roasted or cooked with fish is bad for odor, meaning it causes bad breath. And for something else. In other words, meat that is salted with fish or meat that's cooked with fish, you shouldn't eat because it's bad. And the Hebrew here is ledavar acher, for something else. It's bad. It causes something else. So what's davar acher, something else? Why does the Gemara say davar acher? Why does it just say what it is? So like sometimes there's this practice when something's really bad, people don't want to say it.
Right.
You know, in Yiddish they do that with certain diseases. So Rashi says there that it's referring to leprosy. Referring I guess it's probably not the regular leprosy that we know of, but rather it's tzaraat, which is a kind of biblical. Even though we usually credit that with lashon hara, but so it causes some kind of disease. The Gemara seems to say. Gemara is not even very specific. So that's the source for the idea of fish and meat. Now, the truth is that the Gemara has a lot of things, has a lot of health suggestions. Yes. And we don't follow them all. So, for instance, if you turn to page, I basically quote, there's a long Gemara in Gittin, which lists a lot of health things. On the bottom of, like, the fourth page here, fourth whole page.
Health and medicine and tonic?
Yeah. So, this is all, I just quoted the English right from the Gemara in Gittin. And we're not going to read it all. It's going to sound kind of, it's going to sound like reading some kind of ancient medical text. But the Gemara has a lot of ideas about health that we don't follow at all. For instance, for blood rushing to the head, the remedy is to take sherbina and willow and moist myrtle and olive leaves and poplar and rosemary and yablon and boil them all together. The sufferer should then place 300 cups on one side of his head, 300 on the other. Otherwise, you should take a white rose with all the leaves on one side, boil them, pour 60 cups over each side of his head. For migraine, one should take a woodcock, cut its throat with a white zuz over the side of the head on which he has the pain. Take care that blood doesn't blind him. He should not hang the bird on his doorpost. He should hang the bird on the doorpost that he should not, so that he rubs against it when he goes in and out. Okay, so we don't do that, right? We don't... not everything the Gemara... In other words, there seems to be an assumption that not everything the Gemara says about medicine do we have to keep.
Because it's based on whatever medical knowledge they had then.
So that's what... That's what we assume. Right. So that seems to be what we assume.
Mm-hmm.
Because even those who don't eat fish and meat, which is most of us, at least cook together, the truth is that we don't necessarily keep everything that's recommended for health in the Gemara. Yeah.
Portion from Gittin translates it as a certain fish, a particular kind of fish that was roasted. And why do we assume that how did it get transposed from that to any other kind of fish?
Oh, right.
You mean the first Gemara?
The very first one. I'm sorry, not the one.
Yeah. Right.
It's only that fish. It looks like from this and that, whatever that fish was, not some other fish. St. Stephen's fish and not opposed
to
cod or
salmon. Yeah. Right. There was a fish. It's hard to know if it's a certain kind of fish or that in this case there was a fish that was right. So it's not clear that it's a certain species of fish.
Right.
could have just been there telling a story. There was a person, there was a fish that was roasted with meat, and this was the decision that was made. So you're right. It could be a certain kind of fish. That's true. It's true. Right. Right. So the Gemara has all kinds of things for it, and you can read them later.
Right. So do we know what kutah is, by the way?
Kutah, yeah. Kutah is like, it was some kind of dairy dish. It was, yeah. No, I don't know if we know exactly what it was.
Okay.
Like curd or something?
Yeah. Something, I don't think there's like a recipe for it, but we know that it's milchik.
Okay, and the other thing is, what's interesting is that before the Gemara mentions something else, it mentions bad
odor.
Breath. Bad for bad odor, breath. Meaning right. It causes bad breath. Did they perceive
Recha.
Bad
so it's funny.
Odor or breath as a health issue?
So it's funny. The Hebrew word here is dekashi l'recha. So recha means smell, reach, smell. Mm-hmm. I suppose it could also mean something else, like recha, like we have this concept of ruach ra, something, kind of bad spirit. But no, here it seems to mean recha, smell.
And Rabbi Feinstein takes it further and said that it was like an assault on the other person.
What was?
The smell, putting a bad smell on someone.
Oh, that's
like
why you
assault.
Shouldn't do it. Uh-huh, because you're going to...
So you're invading them, you're not just,
that's interesting.
You're not just affecting
right.
yourself, you're affecting...
Right, but that doesn't seem like a health issue necessarily,
no.
Unless they saw that as a sign of health. Yeah.
Or just, okay, so that's interesting. What you're saying is it's a sign more of a consideration for others.
Right, but that would be even more reason if we know. I mean, we're going to see a little bit later that, for instance, there are things that do get quoted in halacha, like there are some things that are bad for health that the Gemara says and the halacha says. For instance, drinking water that was left open. Right? Why was that problematic? Because we're worried about snakes. We had this by the cheese thing. Sure. So many say that now you're allowed to drink water that's left open because we don't have snakes around. But we didn't necessarily make that jump with fish and meat to permit it. Why is that? And it's what's the difference between snakes in the water and eating fish and meat together. So some say because snakes with the water, like we know why. Because in other words, we know why people don't drink water that was left open because of snakes. So now we don't have snakes, so you could drink the water.
That's
fish and meat,
also?
We didn't really know.
But it's not
why.
A rough raw also.
I've heard that also. I have heard that.
That's
I have
only
heard
I
that.
I learned it.
Oh yeah, that yeah. was about ruach ra. Yeah, I don't know if it's that.
The open water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the general
thing
is snakes. So I'm not sure it's the same with the water. Yeah. So let's see. So the Rambam, you know, has several. He has a couple of chapters about health, and they're really interesting because some of them are things that we're just discovering. Like the Rambam says, you should get 8 hours of sleep and eat a high fiber diet and exercise every morning. There, you know, so that's we understand that to be good. On the other hand, he says other things that we don't keep. For instance, he says here, it's interesting. You should only eat till you're 3/4 full. Right, that's like a big thing today. That's. So the Rambam has a lot about health here.
They actually have that concept, I think, in Japan.
Yeah,
where,
and they live a long
where
time.
Where that's how they all eat.
It turns out eating less good for you. He says laxative foods such as figs, mulberries, pears, melons, these are good. What he means is having a high-fiber diet. A person who desires to eat poultry and meat in one sitting should eat the poultry first. You know, so that we don't necessarily keep. So what's interesting is that in all of these health things that the Rambam has, there are foods which are harmful, but he says, for instance, there are foods that are really bad for you that you shouldn't eat. This is on the second page on the top. There are foods which are extremely harmful. It's proper that one should never eat them. For example, large fish that are aged in salted cheese, which is aged in salted truffles and mushrooms, meat which is aged in salted wine from the press, cooked food which has been left over until it produces an odor. So that's pretty smart. Any food which has a bad smell or is very bitter taste, they're like poison to the body. So that makes sense, but we do eat mushrooms. You know, we don't seem to hold like this Rambam for health things.
There's something about mushrooms here?
Yeah, he says not to eat truffles and mushrooms. Now, it's funny because in the Gemara, they do pick truffles and mushrooms and eat them.
Well, you really need to know what you're doing anyway.
Oh, maybe that's what he means. Oh, mushrooms. Maybe he means like poisonous mushrooms. Oh, that would make a lot of sense.
Like,
you're right, because he's... That would make
sense. Because they're wasted, I mean, sometimes
That's true. That could be really bad for you. Yeah.
Because I remember my dad telling me in Lithuania, he was taught how to pick the right ones, and he would go and pick them. But my mom in Ukraine, like, she didn't know what were the good ones, and nobody had...
Interesting. Oh, that's interesting. The Rambam says shouldn't eat the meat of large oxen or he-goats, horse beans, I don't know what they are, lentils, chickpeas, barley bread, matzah, cabbage, leeks. So we do these things, onions, garlic, mustard. So he says that you should eat them only very sparingly in the summer, in the rainy season.
Some of this is good. Cooked food which has been left over until it
produces
an odor.
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah. Right, now a lot of them. So it becomes an interesting question in halakha, in other words. But the one thing, by the way, the Rambam does not mention, fish and meat. The Rambam does not mention fish and meat together. So that becomes a very important question.
You know, I think my concern with fish and meat is that fish bones, like if you're cooking the fish and the meat, with meat you assume like, oh, I can definitely see the bone and I'll eat it easily.
So that's what some say.
And then
yeah.
With a fish, like it could fall apart and then you have bones all over the place and you don't want to swallow one.
Right. So that's what some people say. So it doesn't seem to fit. So it doesn't seem to fit necessarily with Davar Achir in the Gemara, although we don't really know what Davar Achir is. But that's what some people say, is that it has to do with the bones of the fish and the meat. Right.
Why does the Rambam say you should always avoid fruit?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it says it's like a knife in your stomach or something like this,
right?
I forget the quote. So
when they're not sufficiently ripe, they are like swords to the body.
So that may be true. Actually, Rabbi Nachman has a whole Kabbalistic thing about not eating unripe fruit. He's very careful about it. Right, how often you should bathe. I mean, the Rambam has a lot of very good advice. But, you know, not everything, I don't think, we would say we have to follow in terms of medical advice in the Gemara and the Rambam. And it's interesting that the Rambam does not, even though he mentions a lot of things, you would think he would mention fish and meat. Why doesn't he?
Right, and it's interesting because the Gemara that's the source is not like that definitive.
Right,
it's not like a super definitive Gemara. There are some different opinions, and then one person adds at the end, there's a certain fish, so...
It's actually talking about mixing milk and meat. That's
initially,
really
it's talking about milk and meat, and then Marbar Ravashi says, and about it, it's just about this certain fish, adds in some, throws in some stuff on.
Right, it seems like other people were okay with eating it as long as they don't put it in milk.
Right.
There's two ways to take it. Maybe he doesn't mention it because it's called a homer. It's already so known that it's not even saying. Because a lot of his statements are very novel, actually. They're very, like, revolutionary to exercise in the morning. So, like, his kind of plan he sets forth isn't so sort of known. So,
yeah, but if it's a halacha, you would think he would mention it. So take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. This is on the bottom of, it's just in Hebrew, it's on the bottom of the back of the third page. So the Shulchan Aruch mentions this in a couple of different places. The first is in Hilchos Ma'achalei of the Kochavim.
What
first,
page is it on?
So this is on the bottom of sort of Daf 3, or page 6. I guess 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It would be really page 6 at the bottom. After the Rambam, after number 23 of the Rambam. It's got a bunch of numbers from the Rambam, 21, 22, 23. And in the bottom, it has Shulchan Aruch. There you go. So Shulchan Aruch writes, person has to be careful that they should not eat meat and fish together. Mipnei shekasha l'tzarat, because it can cause leprosy, tzarat. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Obviously, he's following that Gemara.
And Rashi's interpretation of it.
Right, what does it mean, the Rashi? Hagah, the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Esterlis adds, he was an Ashkenazi, Chein ein litzlot basar im dagi, also should not roast meat with fish, mishum recha. Now, this means because of the smell within the oven. In other words, what you're doing is you're roasting fish and meat in one oven, so it's a small oven. So even though maybe that shouldn't be a problem, because what are you worried about? But somehow the aroma is going to carry particles of one to the other. It's a little bit different than other problems in an oven, which is usually zeal, like steam. Steam's a problem also in an oven. But
so this is even like if you cover both of them?
No, so I think if it was covered, well, so that's a good question. If it was covered, would you still have, you wouldn't have steam, but would you still have recha, would you still have aroma? Maybe you would.
So
and why he says that, and why he's not worried about steam, is a good question. Maybe they would dry.
Him, does it mean like with, like concurrently
at the same time?
Not like one and then the other?
Yeah, no, I think it's the same time. So, and it could be, I mean, what you're saying is right, Michelle, that it could be that over here we're careful even about, even though this may be more strict than milk and meat. Because if milk and meat don't have any steam, in theory you're allowed to cook them in the same oven. So aroma, what are we worried about aroma? So this is the concept of chamur sakanta meisura, that we're more worried in certain instances in halacha about danger than about that which is forbidden. Mihu, the Rama says, nevertheless, if you did it, you're allowed to eat it. Which is interesting. I mean, if it's bad for you, why are you allowed to eat it?
But you're finding out now that all the meals that you have.
But I could see how, in other words, in the realm of Isser, something's forbidden, right. So forbidden has certain parameters. But if something's bad for you, arsenic, you know? So once you put it in, you could eat it. So, like, that could work in the world of halacha, but that doesn't work in the world of medicine. So what do we mean exactly? If it was roasted in the same oven.
Unless, of course, the show...
No, you could eat one or the other, I think he means. Now, we'll see. It could be that the main problem is cooking them together. Much bigger problem than mixing them together. So the Taz, one of the commentaries on this, he says, what's this concept of b'dieved eino aser, that after the fact it's permitted? Hainu b'recha l'chud. That's with regard to this aroma issue. But if you actually cooked them together, we wouldn't allow it even after the fact, even b'dieved. V'chasav HaMordechai and others. Tovah sheyesh b'mishum sakana dino k'iser levat lo b'shishim. Now he's talking about this concept that does it get batal b'shishim? Does it get nullified in the 60th? So he says, if something is a sakana, it's bad for you, it could also be, it's the same as something that's forbidden, and it could become nullified in 60 parts. And he says, actually, in some ways, in this oven, these two things are dry. It's not an issue of steam. Even the aroma seems to be an issue, so we see that it's more strict, really, even than something that was forbidden. What if a piece of meat fell into a pot that had fish? Or the opposite. So you would definitely need 60. But we're not worried, he says, about tam bliat kli. We're not worried about taste that's absorbed into a vessel. Somehow that doesn't cause whatever the issue is. So he says, what about that which the Torah mentions, that we worry about water that was uncovered? Even if you have, you know, 40 measures of water, it's a lot of water. And the snake's venom would certainly be less than a 60th of the water. There must be. Afilu shata nachash mimena akam shalav. V'chein kasem ma'aril shalapachos midag shenafla... He says all this is because of danger to health. So he says when it comes to health, maybe a 60th doesn't help. Okay. So it could be that in some way it's even more strict because it's not something forbidden that we're dealing with something that's bad for you. The Pri Chadash says... says that he quotes from the Aruch, which says that before the fact, you're not allowed to roast fish and meat together because of this aroma issue. But after the fact, it's permitted because it's only a danger if you actually cook them together. It's not actually a danger. I guess the aroma issue is like some kind of fence around it. But it's really not bad for you unless you cook them together. Okay, so that's one section of the Shulchan Aruch. Another section of the Shulchan Aruch mentions it. This is in Or HaChaim, in the laws of getting up in the morning when it comes to the laws of eating. And here he's talking about whether you need to wash. You know, we wash before bread. Mm-hmm. And there's a custom to wash before you bench. Right? Before Birkat HaMazon, we also wash our hands, called Mayim Achronim. There was a custom to wash between courses, called Mayim Mitzayim.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, really? So, you see, and it's here in Shulchan Aruch. Din mayim emtzayim. This is the law of water that's in the middle. It's not mayim achronim, it's not mayim rishonim. Mayim rishonim being when you wash for bread, mayim achronim being at the end of the meal before you bench. But maybe you have to wash your hands between courses. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Mayim Mitzar Mishut. You don't have to wash between courses. You're allowed to. You're permitted to. You don't have to. But between a cooked dish and cheese, you have to. And then he says, Bain,
when they say a cooked dish, do they mean meat?
Does
or
he
just
mean meat? So that's a good question. Let's look it up.
Or do they mean a cooked
I'm not sure.
Dog
I think
meat.
He probably means meat,
mm-hmm.
but that would seem strange.
So maybe
because,
it's legavnia, so it's like,
because you can't eat them at the same meal. I have to look that up and see what it means. But in Sif Bet, which was the main part, Bein Basar L'Davar, between meat and fish, you're obligated to wash your hands. Tekash L'Davar Acher, because it can cause what we said, leprosy. The Chamira Sakanta Me'isura. And we're more. It could be that it means in the top, if you eat cheese first and then meat. Not sure. But over here, it's even though you don't have to wash between courses, if it's between meat and fish, you do have to wash because we're more strict about danger than about Isser, than about something that's forbidden. Now, let's look that up.
That seems funny to me because, I mean, wouldn't the issue be more in your mouth? Like, shouldn't you clean out your mouth? Like, your hands?
Well, so maybe this is in addition.
Okay.
Remember, they used to eat with their hands.
That's what I was going to say. Like, now we use napkins.
Very different. Right. And you see that
like
in the postgame.
We clean ourselves between.
Right. You also eat with a fork. So if you eat with a fork, that's why we wash off our fork.
Yeah. Well, right? I know some families that will have, like, a lechai in between the fish course and the meat course just so that everyone has
wash
a drink.
Their
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's between cheese and meat. If you eat cheese first, then you're allowed to eat meat afterwards, but you have to wash your hands. But between
so why do you think they put meat first instead of cheese? Because it's more important?
Good question. Let's see.
Like you name the more important thing first.
Yeah, it's strange. I don't know, it's strange.
I mean, everything has a reason to ask.
Yeah. So take a look at the next part, the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, L'davar acher, the Magen Avraham. Take a look at the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, Kash l'davar acher, it causes something else, causes leprosy. Says it's possible that today it's really not dangerous. He says we see a lot of things in the Gemara that the Gemara says they're bad because of ruach ra, some kind of evil spirit or something, or other things they're bad for your health, and it really doesn't damage us today. We see a lot of people eat it; it doesn't damage them. He says dinishtanu ativos. So this is one way to deal with that. One way to deal with why is it different now than in the time of the Gemara is nature has changed. People have changed. Foods have changed. The world's a different world. So fish and meat back then was bad. Now it's not. That's one way to go. Another way to go, obviously, is to say the Gemara thought it was bad using the signs of the times. Now we know it's different. But what the Magen Avraham says is maybe nishtanu ativos. Maybe nature's different. Maybe people have changed. Vagam hakol lefi, or maybe, you know, the fish have changed. Vagam hakol lefi teva haratzot. And everything depends on, you know, also geographically where you are. You know, maybe some fish are different than others.
Well, yeah, the Gemara would seem to support that. Didn't the original Gemara say it was pointing about a particular...
Well, so that was what he was saying. It does say, but it's hard to know if that was a certain case of a fish. Or
right.
If it's talking about a kind of fish.
I mean, for sure things have changed because they say the measurements of kitzat, like, you know,
kazayin,
like, kazayin.
So
like
that's
the
a good, right.
So beisa, like everything has changed. They're bigger, they're smaller now. And also, I mean, to get mystical, our spiritual level has changed. So the same way someone who's very sensitive has a lot of allergies, but somebody who's less sensitive doesn't have as much allergies. You
that is true. That allergies, for instance, seem to have changed.
Right.
We have different sensitivities than other people used to have. That is true. Maybe. People in different countries, different sensitivities.
Yeah. based on the mercury in the fish killed whatever it was they were worried about.
Could be. So the Mishnah Berurah, he didn't live that long ago, right? He lived about 100 years ago,
What do we know if it's not, like, instead of leprosy, like, what's this thing everybody has? Eczema. You know, people have, like, a lot of eczema.
Really? Yeah. There's certain things that are very common now. Allergy, like peanut allergy, that sort of thing.
Well, what about, like, with my mechonim, my understanding is it was, like, when you were eating with your hands, you're washing off the salt from eating, right. So maybe there was a certain type of salt that was also used with fish that wanted to make sure to wash off.
Could be.
That's good. Right. Wasn't it called with the Mayim Achronim, wasn't it called Noach Stomis?
Right. So that's one issue, is that maybe you'll touch your eyes and maybe using very sharp salt. Or
they
had could
to
just be
it somehow.
Right, or it could just be it's out of honor for the benching, right. You know, that just like you wash for a dog and you wash for a benching, especially if you've been eating with your hands, right? So the Mishnah Berurah, who the Chofetz Chaim, he didn't live that long ago, he writes the Davar Acher Tzara'at, and he says, and look in the Magen Avram, who writes, De'efshir de'bizmanenu en tzagonu kovach, who says that maybe in our time it's not a danger, because in many things, nature has changed. So it's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. He doesn't tell you what his opinion necessarily is, but he does quote the Magen Avraham. And then he says, look over there at the halacha that we just read before. V'sham nisbar b'haga, over there, the Ramah Shesulah says, D'min hagenu, our custom is, she'en choshin lezeh, that we're not worried about this, right? He had said, we're not worried about when it's just cooked in an oven together. He had said, after the fact, we're not worried about it. And he ends, Mikomakom yeshlechel dover beinehem. He says, you should eat something in between them and drink something. You should eat and drink something in between them. Right. The Machsidim, they do that. They say, Lachayim between. The Shar Tzion writes, V'chachmas Adam, klausamaches, kasav zelashonen. The Chachmas Adam, which is a book on halacha. He writes, Yeshno gim licho tzidayim bin vasov dayim. There's some who have the custom, or we are accustomed to wash our hands between meat and fish. Aval eim netzarach, but you don't have to. Mikol makom yishtadav meim, but you should drink something between them, that you shouldn't eat them together, so that you don't eat them together. So on the one hand, it seems like the real main problem is cooking them together. That seems to be the main issue. On the other hand, we seem to see things in halacha. So there's a lot of possibilities, right? The Gemara says it. One possibility is it doesn't apply anymore. Another possibility is it does apply, but it only applies if they were cooked together. Maybe you could even eat them together, but not if they were cooked together. Another possibility is...
Can't even eat them together.
Shouldn't even eat them together. You should really wash out your mouth in between, maybe your hands. Yeah.
The sources have the order between meat and fish.
Yeah.
And now, before we said we're between meat and cheese, it should be reversed, at least that... That was the interpretation.
Yeah.
Is the interpretation here? It should be as it is.
So it doesn't seem to make a difference.
Yeah. But yeah. You have the gefilte fish appetizer. And
right. No, it seems like we always seem to eat fish before meat, yeah. But I think it just has to do with. I mean, look, non Jews also have a separate fork for fish, yeah. Right? That's interesting. Why is that?
Because it's just proper. They're keeping proper etiquette. Yeah, it's not.
Right. So, and people, I think fish was eaten generally before meat, right? I don't know. But it seems like it doesn't make a difference halachically which one you're eating first. So again, none of this has to do with kashrut. It only has to do with this question. The Gemara thought it was bad for you. Do we still keep that or not?
I think it would make a difference with the order. And I think it goes back to the reason that it says basar v'dagim. I think my proposition is correct, that the more important basar is like...
So you should eat meat first.
No, you should eat fish first. But the reason it's given in the order basar v'dagim is because the meat is the crux of the meal, mm-hmm. and the fish is the lesser thing. Same with the chalav. They put it after because it's the lesser thing. Mm-hmm. But in terms of eating it, it wouldn't make sense... Eat the meat and then wash out your mouth before you eat the fish. It's not the meat impacting the fish negatively. It's the fish impacting the meat negatively.
Is that true? So, I thought it's a mixing of them.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I've not seen that. I mean, halacha doesn't. I haven't seen that it makes a difference what the order is. Just
but there's also
a
mesora, right? Yeah. So it's not just halacha in isolation. It's also a mesora. When have you ever been to a meal where they served you the meat and then You change place and you got the fish after.
I have that one section.
Really? So that's so cool.
Reform. Maybe they were reformed.
No, we had salad and then we had chicken soup. But then we forgot that somebody brought the filter fish and we felt bad. So
it's good to know that Lacha that you could do that. Right. Yeah.
Okay. But right.
Is that only, you keep talking about basar. What about birds?
We'll see that. That could be that's different. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's interesting that some of the commentaries on the Schopenhauer are just taking the approach that it's not a danger anymore, so we shouldn't care. And then some are saying it's not a danger anymore, but we should still care.
So that's what's interesting is that that seems to be how it kind of filters down, right? The Mishnah Berurah does quote the Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah is very close to our time, but then he also quotes the other commentaries who say that, you know, you need to wait between them. So it's interesting that, right, the Gemara has a lot of things that are bad for you, and the Rambam has a lot of things that might be bad for you, but a lot of them have, and now some of them we have the reason for, let's say the uncovered water, so maybe we could see how that would change. But it's interesting that some of them we've kept, some of them we hadn't. Basically, fish and meat seems to be like the one that we've kept. Why that is a good question.
Maybe
that seems to be
so,
what kind of sifts out in halacha.
Maybe just so ingrained.
Yeah. That could be. Yeah. And as I haven't seen people sort of come out and say, you know, you could just hold like the Magen Avraham. It seems to be very, it's interesting. This is the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan lived quite a bit later than Shulchan Aruch, I think late 1800s. It's Rabbi Baruch Ber Epstein. So he writes, person has to be careful not to eat fish and meat together. He's quoting the Gemara because of leprosy. Ve'ein chilek bein basar behema levasar ofen. There's no difference between the meat of an animal and the meat of a bird. There are others who say there is, but he says not. Ve'ein litzlos basarim dag betan or katan. You shouldn't, in a small oven, roast them at the same time because of the aroma. But if you did, it's okay.
Wait, let me just keep up.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is chicken and a meat, you shouldn't cook in the same oven either? Or
yeah, he says not to. He says it doesn't make a difference if it's meat or
chicken,
bird.
Chicken and fish.
No,
oh, sorry. Right. Sorry, chicken and fish, yeah. Yeah. No, you were talking about fish.
I was like, whoa, because I'm really having problems with
fish. No.
I'm running out of space here.
No. So he says, because really the only dangerous thing is if you cook them together. And there are those actually who permit you to roast both of them, even before the fact, in an oven together. And there are those who are actually the opposite extreme, those who forbid it even after the fact. We follow the Rama, Rabbi Moshe Isserles, who was an Ashkenazi. He says after the fact, if you roasted them in the same oven, that's fine. And you should, not only that, but you should wash your hands between eating fish and meat. And you should eat some bread, he says, that you have dipped in something. It says in halacha, bread that was dipped in wine, in order to wash out your mouth. And there are those who say you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to wash out your mouth. Rak kishem avashlan yachad, ba'ochlan anitzl yachad, da'az yesh sakana. Avla ochlan zachazah, en lachash, but to eat one after the other is not a problem. Chazar Rabbeinu Rama, d'cheinogim. And that's what the Rabbi Moshe Isserles says, that you don't have to do anything in between. You don't have to wash your hands, you don't have to wash your mouth between them. He says, but nevertheless, you should eat something between them, and you should drink something. He's quoting the Rama. So you could see there's like, it's not so, we're a little unsure exactly what to do with it all. And not only that, there are those who say, and here's quoting the Magen Avraham, maybe nature has changed. Those many things which the Gemara says that are bad for you, we're not careful about. And anyway, different countries are different. And there's a Tosus in Moed Katan that seems to say the same thing, that we're not worried about medical things in the Gemara. Same thing with the water that's uncovered. So maybe things change. Maybe medicine has changed. And maybe the medicine that the Gemara had isn't work today. And not only, but on the other hand, there are those that say that if you cook them together, fish and meat, it would not be nullified even in a 60th. But there are many who argue with that. And that it's only this issue of uncovered water, if a snake bit it, that would not be batal. But other things that are bad for you, they are nullified, 1 in 60.
So okay. Does the Aruch HaShulchan come to any decision?
Yeah, so he seems to, no, so he seems to say, right, no, he's sort of bringing it all together. He seems to say it is batel, 1 in 60. He seems to say you don't have to do anything in between. You don't really have to wash your hands or your mouth in between, but it's good to do that. You shouldn't cook them together, but if you cook them in the same oven, that's okay. Right, that's what he seems to say. Take a look at... there's a Rabbi Kiva Eger on the he was a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and on the Gemara. It's on page 1, 2, 3, for the bottom of page, what would be side 8. And this is sort of a different take on it.
What does it mean? I'm sorry to ask a silly question, but what does it mean when it says saif? Saif. And it said it in the other page too. In the saif, very beginning, I thought it was a tshuva, but it's not that.
Saif?
Yeah.
Oh, saif is paragraph.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or thank paragraph you. Or section.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, so,
so here the Hebrew is on the bottom of page 8. On the top of page 9 is sort of the English, although it's not an exact translation. So Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the Maharil. He says the Maharil writes, "Kol harfut shebchol haTalmud oser lenasa sasam mishum de'en arim yachal lamud al ikaron." He says you shouldn't use any of the medical advice in the Talmud. Because you don't know exactly how it works. And you're going to try, it's not going to work, and then you're going to like think the Gemara is absurd. And that's, let's say, all those things that we read in Gittin. Except for one thing you should use, which is that if you have a bone stuck in your throat, you should bring the same kind of bone and put it on your head, and you should say chad chad nachit bala bala nachit chad chad. Bahalacha shaze baduk umenusa lachein oto levad matiro. And here he has the English of it. Says.
So it's kind of funny because
says that course, one has
after been, having said that you shouldn't do any of the stuff at the Gemara.
It picks and one, but he says that one's been done and that works. That we know. Oh. So look for us if it doesn't work. I mean, I've never tried it, but for us if it doesn't work,
I had a bone then like
did you really?
Yeah, like a fish bone.
Oh. Me too.
So.
I popped it out.
I had to go to the ER.
Oh, no. Oh wow! So.
I bet when you were knocked out, the doctor said, "Hun, hun."
No, no, they did it while I was still.
Oh my God!
So,
Rav Schechter skips these pages.
Oh, so that's interesting. So I heard a recording by Rav Schechter's son. He was saying that when he learned Gittin with his father, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, okay. YU, his father skipped these two pages in Gittin about the health things, and they made a see him on the Gemara anyway. And he doesn't believe it's like he just believes it's the Gemara giving advice that you don't follow. I think Rav Schechter actually. I think I once heard in a lecture that he said you don't have to really be careful about fish and meat either. I think I heard that in a lecture of his. He definitely doesn't drink anything in between or eat in between specifically, you know. His son mentioned that. There's a few recordings on these issues. He says... okay.
So who's Ellie Friedman?
So I'm not sure exactly. He's somebody, I can't remember exactly where he was from, but it was an interesting article. He sort of quotes, he quotes a bunch of sources on this topic, quotes opinions that, like the Rabbi Kiva Eger that we mentioned, but then he quotes others that feel the opposite, that the Gemara is actually superior to science. And then he quotes other ones that say, you know, at the time of Mashiach, we'll sort of see that it's all the same. I don't know if you have to really hold that.
Right, well, what was interesting when I went through, briefly read through this, there's mm-hmm. different opinions. Some of them, of the opinions that say you should not abide by the cures in the Gemara,
mm-hmm.
There are some who say nature has changed.
Right.
There are some who say, well, you're going to misunderstand or misconstrue the Gemara. And there are some who just say the rabbis in the Gemara were using the medical knowledge and science of their time.
That's right.
That was available.
That's right. Right, right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So, I mean, again, the question of why fish and meat we've kept, I think it's out of minhag and out of custom. That's an interesting question. Why that and not anything else? And could you paskin like the Magen Avraham and cook them together? So I don't think we should, because I think people don't. That's become the custom. But you see, the person doesn't have to be so strict. In other words, if you didn't wash off your fork, you don't have to worry so much.
So the practical implication isn't so much that people are like throwing their fish and meat together. There's no surf and turf happening around here. But instead, the Worcestershire, because that's what comes up in Rav Schachter's analysis, is the Worcestershire. Because, it's cold, so it's not throwing off an aroma, but it does have anchovy base.
But it's cooked together.
No, let's say you put it on after.
Oh, could you take anchovy sauce, Worcestershire, and put it on meat? So let's see. So so this is a tshuva that... Rabbi Schechter's son. Rabbi Schechter's son found these documents from the OU called F41 and F42. You found it also?
That was it.
Oh, you found that on Waiyatara?
Well, I was looking for that, yeah.
Yeah. So, read these. I'm not sure. I looked on the, I tried to do a Google search in other places, like the OU. And the OU doesn't seem to make these things public.
No, it's there in the OU, not the original
page. This is a transliteration.
Oh, you found it on the OU website?
I found the OU because they're combining a lot more, because they're seeing that people go like me.
On the OU website you found it?
On the OU website, there's like a throwaway line. Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita explains that this is by Rav Avi Zakutinsky, and he pretty much copied your source sheet.
Okay.
And then at the end, he hits the...
Yeah, I got this. Rabbi Shafi's son found this and posted it on Waiyatara. So he says, the question is, Haim mutter lahanik ha-kosher le-Worcestershire sauce sheyesh bo ma'at ma'at dag el-shebevadi bal de-b'shishim? Are you allowed to put kosher symbol on Worcestershire sauce, which has anchovies in it, but they're bal de-b'shishim, less than a 60th? And we know it's called steak sauce on the label, he says later. So the point is to use it with meat. So he says, he quotes the Magen Avraham, who says maybe nature has changed, and that we shouldn't forbid meat with fish, because our doctors today say there's not a problem. And he says, look at the Darkei Tshuva, that Shegedolei Achronim Tzirfa Devar Levisnif Lahakel, that we don't paskin that way like the Magen Avraham, that everything's permitted, you just cook them together, but that we can use it with other factors to be lenient. For instance, Batel B'Shishim, right? Even though others had said, no, it's because it's a danger, we don't say that it's nullified in a 60th, but that combined together with the Magen Avraham, that maybe it's not an issue at all, you can mix them both together, yeah.
Yeah, but if you get beyond the idea of cooking them together, then it gets beyond Worcestershire sauce. So what about if you're eating cold stuff?
Cold. Right. Well, he's going to talk even about cooking them together, because if you're marketing Worcestershire sauce as kosher, it's steak sauce. So it doesn't always say fish, apparently. I don't know if it always does.
It's a serious thing. We were in the middle of preparing for Shabbos.
Really?
And this girl here in the neighborhood, she was like...
Right, so maybe that's only... So it could be that there are people who are machmir, but I'm not sure you have to be machmir. Right. So he says, because it is actually... So he says it's less than a 60th, and that combined with the Magen Avraham, that it's not a problem at all, should make a permitted. Oh, it's study the head term. So I was looking at the Pesachei Tshuva, that you can combine these things. Dasa is a heter, Varova poskim. He says most authorities are lenient. Harbe poskim osifa od osifa lahakel od v'lomar de'ein bechron da mishum ein mevatlin. You don't have to worry that you're like nullifying it before the fact. You don't have to worry about that. Kimavadi mutar lahanek hakosher l'sauce. And you could definitely put kosher on this sauce. Shetama dag shabo kvar nisvadu, because it's less than a 60th already in the sauce. I feel him nitfas alapetek Sha'ala bakbuk shu steaks, even if it says steak sauce, it's okay. Mela move in Shirova Konami Arivo so babasar, and people are gonna use it with meat. Because you can combine the idea of the Magen Avraham that it's permitted entirely with the Isser Beheter who says that it's nullified in the 60th, and you put those two lenient even opinions, even though they're not the majority opinion, but once you combine them, you can use them.
But these days, I see OU fish.
Right, so we'll see. So he says, V'ein min atzarech l'had fistacha semel avav shesh badam. He says you don't have to write fish below the hechsher.
That's our chef
right here. Right, ve'elu akonim shirotim, it says, ve'elu akonim shirotim l'achmer b'zeh, but those who want to be strict, v'shalo lishtamish b'sazeh, and not to use the sauce, they could look on the ingredients. And they'll see it says anchovies. Don't have to worry. So they, he says that's why you don't have to write fish on it. So
it's funny that this is an OU document and they do the fish now.
So Kvarudat, well, you'll see. There's a little bit more. Kvarudat, Yenechali, Be'atchol, Zanal, V'yafa, Chriya, Yedidi, Rav Agonu, Tuzha. So this is from Rabbi Belsky. Rabbi Belsky is also a posik for the OU, and he's more on the technical side. But great Talmud Chacham. So he says, I saw what Rabbi Shechter wrote, Shemong Shesh Dog B'tariv Zamach Liyosim Me'achim B'shishim, that if it's less than a 60th, the sauce, Shesh Asamna B'tariv Fish, Samach Zem L'Chash Shalanu, Pach Zem B'samach Ein Tzarech, that if it's less than a 60th, you don't have to write fish on it. If it's more than a 60th, then you have to write fish. Avo Mishamay Sabati L'had Gish Yesh Livdok Eich Rishimot Beina Hamachilim. Ki Bo'ovda Shemarim Bo Shem and Shell, 3 omega, haba rubo midagim. He says you have to look because sometimes it says omega 3 on the ingredients, and that comes mostly from fish. So therefore, and a lot of times we'll just say omega 3 on there. V'emes tzarech lichtov shiesh dagim b'toch ha-ma'achilim, v'lichtov perishnev is dagim o shem ha-dag, v'vil tizeh lo yivino shishum etzehu midag. So he says you have to make sure in the ingredients it says fish, and not just for those, I guess, who want to be strict.
So it's like assuming that if someone sees anchovies, they'll associate that with fish, but they won't associate
omega-3 with it. Right. Fish. It probably comes from other places also. So, but there is another issue with Worcestershire sauce. So he tells a story. This is from Rav Shechter also. So he says, Rav Shechter says, B'shua Shevar, this is, I guess, another document at the OU. B'shua Shevar, Pigashti at Kovet Rav Rav Yaakov Hopfer. Rav Yaakov Hopfer is in Baltimore. I think he's connected with Star K. He's a big posting there. She Yechim in Baltimore. Normally, she wrote a bedafa kasha shekasam. He said he saw what I wrote. Sheish talka barotim sheish b'tariv zdagim. That you don't have to worry about this Worcestershire sauce because it has less than a 60th of fish. V'derecha ol mishtamish ba'u afle v'shal basar, and it's used for meat. B'tam sfek sfeka, and you don't have to worry about it. I said because you have these two doubts. One is maybe it's like the Magen Avraham that it's permitted, and the other is maybe it's less than a 60th. I mean, it is less than 60th. Maybe we hold that. So das my remember standards too. Ben Lachshman. He says v'al zeton Rabbi Yaakov. But then Rabbi Yaakov Hopfer said to me, "There's another problem. Shalafi meiti v'diyasa. According to what he understands, tam dug ha anchovies who kol kachazak. That the taste of that. Why they're putting in anchovies? The answer is putting in for taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true that it's less than a 60th. Why is less than a 60th not a problem? Because we assume the taste is nullified.
Right.
So you can't argue the taste is nullified. That's why they put it in.
Right.
So it's a special category of it's made for the taste. It's put in for the taste. So you can't really rely on putting those two leniencies together. So he says we really have to clarify that because it makes a difference halachically. And he says, then I also asked Rabbi Eliyahu Gerstein, who said that the amount of anchovies used in Worcestershire sauce is actually very small. One place I visited recently had one sauce that was less than 0.3% anchovies, and one was 0.16% anchovies, and it is not noticeable by itself to the layman. So what about the taste issue? Perhaps in combination with other flavors, it does something. In other words, what Rabbi Hopfer said, that it's adding flavoring, that's why they're using it. The answer is it doesn't add flavoring by itself. It's not enough. It only adds flavoring when you mix it together with
10,000
options. Or what's that thing they use to enhance flavor?
MSG.
Or whatever. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing, something like that. He says, we refer to this as zev zegorim, that you need both of them to do it, and we consider this batel.
Mm-hmm.
We do consider it nullified. So it sounds like, from Rav Shechter, that you, is that what the OU article says, that you could That even when it says fish, you could put it on meat?
He doesn't say yes, no. He just says, Rav Shasher says, the only reason they have to declare that it's fish is because even though it's less than a thing, and it's even though they're just like being for the machmir people.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like essentially the somebody did ask me this week, last week, if you could use Worcestershire on meat. And I thought, do you have to? But she said, yeah, she really likes to. So it sounds like Manny wouldn't, but it sounds like you could. Because it sounds like even if it says fish, that it's definitely, definitely less than a 60th. That combined with the Magen Avraham. So that even before the fact, you would be allowed to do that. So if that really, if that's where your pleasure of Shabbos comes from, Worcestershire meat, sounds like you could do it. And if you're just putting it on the meat without cooking it, I would think even that would be even another step. Because there were those who hold that it's only forbidden when you cook it together.
Right.
So that would seem like three factors of leniency.
Right. And the heat and the meat on shot is as warm as you get it. It's never going to be hot.
So that's kind of the history of meat and fish. So generally our custom, in kind of the mainstream Orthodox world is that people serve both on Shabbos, serve it on separate plates, serve it with separate forks. Do you really have to? If you didn't have a separate plate and you couldn't wash it off, I don't think it's that big a problem. But that's certainly the custom is that we do that, and we should keep that custom unless we're in a real difficult situation.
It's kind of